Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay. We're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on season 3 of Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
We have we're going to record this first part having just watched the first 9 episodes prior to the mid-season hiatus.
We're going with the fresh in our minds vibe.
I find that doing a full season of TV is frankly really hard when you do it at the end of a season. You're like, I think I remember how the season began.
It's easier when you marathon it versus let it play out in the natural flow of a television season.
Yes, we've been watching this kind of sort of week to week. We get a little behind in places or whatever. This season of Supergirl has had a few things that, while I'm enjoying the show, aren't sitting particularly well with me.
Dark, brooding, black logo, for starters.
I swear the logo is getting a little brighter each episode. It's still dark and brooding, overly dramatic.
I think that's your optimism shining through, but keep going.
I'm not saying you're wrong about that either.
It has been a season of grieving so far.
It's a very down and dark season.
I come to Supergirl for my light, bright, happy, optimistic part of the DC, corner of DC. And
I see it as a little less bright and happy than Flash.
Okay.
Just traditionally. Not that it should be, but it has been. I think this season in particular, because she's been a little out of sorts having lost Mon-El, and her sister's been a little out of sorts with what's going on with Maggie leading up to the breakup and stuff, it's had a more angsty tone.
Yes.
And here we are, 9 episodes in. We have just set up Rain, the World Killer.
Mm-hmm.
That's taken all 9 episodes. 8 of the 9.
Samantha has been a slow burn character.
And she's been in and out a little bit, and she's not a bad actress. She's a fine actress. I just don't care for the character that much. And my supposition at this point, I got nothing to base this on, is she's seeming like the big bad for the season.
Yes.
Because otherwise we would have dealt with her before the hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to go there. I can't imagine that she and her daughter Ruby both survive and come out clean, intact, happy, and live happily ever after.
I think she and Edge are competing to be the big bad of the season. And with what you've just said, I'm now wondering if Alex, at the end of the season, ends up adopting Ruby. Just thinking through what they've done with Alex so far.
Particularly where we left on that 9th episode, seems reasonable. She wants kids, and yeah. But I think having Rain is the big bad that's going to get defeated and kind of sort of has to go away. But she's also, not that Lena knows this, it's Lena's best friend.
Yeah.
Her second, you know, who's taken over Elcor or whatever.
Yeah.
So that puts Lena potentially on a dark turn at the end of the season, almost setting Lena up potentially as the big bad for the next season. They've been teasing for 2 seasons at that point.
I was going to say, Lena's been in a precarious perch from the moment we met her. We've been led to believe at every turn that she can't help but be a Luther. She can't help but be the big bad.
They're going very much with her like they had with Lex in Smallville. Of a will he turn bad or won't he? How does he turn bad? When does he turn bad? Can he be trusted? Oh, he seems to be reforming. He seems to have a good aspect to him for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a fine job with that with Lena, but
I think they're doing a great job of it, actually.
The problem I have is first season we had Max Lord.
Yes.
Second season we had Lena, and these are in the billionaire, really rich, powerful.
Exactly.
Are they evil or not characters?
Yeah.
This season we've got
Edge.
Morgan Edge.
There you go.
Who's a character from the comics and stuff. He owned WGBS and the TV station or whatever, I believe. At various points did or didn't own the Daily Planet. And at other points was part of Inner Gang. That was a mob type thing powered by weapons from Apocalypse, where Darkseid's from. In the comics, at various continuities and points and stuff, whatever. So where they're going with those characters, it's like really, it seems like familiar story beats that they're having a hard time really getting their writing around.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too keen about that.
I felt like they took a forced turn near the end of these 9 episodes with Jimmy and Lena.
I felt some of the character progression they thought they had done was Jimmy and Lena, with Lena and Samantha. Mm-hmm. I keep getting the names wrong. Samantha and Kara becoming best buds and stuff mm-hmm. like that. We saw some of that, but I didn't feel they sold it.
They did not sell the three girls becoming best buds. They really didn't sell all of the girls having become such good friends in time for Ruby's school performance, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, that almost to me felt like a Ruby should be looking out into the audience with a who are these women with my mom? Because
mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure she'd even seen them before or much of them.
At that point, going back to the opening when Sam was shot and didn't realize it. And again, it was such a slow burn of Samantha turning out to be Kryptonian. They had teased that kind of sort of at the end of the last season with another pod having come to Earth, but it was unclear when it had come to Earth.
Yes.
Mixed in with that was right after we'd shot Mon-El off into somewhere. And then we've also got this ship under the city, which it's like, is that the pod that the had sent to Earth, you know,
yeah.
at the end of the season or not? Turns out it's not. It's Mon-El. Surprise. He finally comes back a couple of, you know, late in the game of these 9 episodes.
And we decide to kick Kara while she's down.
Well, what got me with that is he's back. He's got a wife. He's been in the 31st century for 7 years. His time, 7 months. Kara's time, Supergirl's time. And his wife is Imra... I should know the last name. I'd have to go look it up. It's Saturn Girl from the Legion of Superheroes.
Okay.
Now, there have been a couple of times this season that as we're watching one or two of these things, I think most notably it was over in Arrow, but it's a, you know, we'd finish an episode and I'm like, yep, that character's from the comics, and boy, are they different.
Yeah.
Saturn Girl, not that they've called her that, is that way. Because one, she was never married to Mon-El. She was married to Lightning Lad. She was one of the three founders of the Legion of Superheroes. They mention how the Legion was based on Supergirl. I'm good with that. It was based in the comics on Superboy.
Oh, okay.
Later Superman, but it's the heroes of this age.
Yeah.
Given where they've gone with Supergirl having trained Mon-El, Mon-El having started the Legion, which in and of itself is a little different, but there are aspects of that in the comics. I was okay with the twist they went with of her being kind of the founding aspect. In the comics, Mon-El originally had been a Daxamite who explored space, wound up on Earth after Superboy had been there, had the lead poisoning. Superboy had to kick him into the Phantom Zone to save his life.
Mm.
He was there for the 1,000 years, which is how he got to the future. Kind of drove him a little insane.
Mm.
So he had to both get kind of cured from that and the lead poisoning, which he did by Brainiac 5 with the lead poisoning, became a member of the Legion of Superheroes at that point. But in a revamp of the continuity after Crisis on Infinite Earths, Valor was that character in the current day, and he wound up, and I forget, I'd have to reread the series, this was somewhere in the 90s, helping with colonization of different worlds that would become the worlds that the Legionnaires are from.
Oh, interesting.
Because the Legionnaires, it was kind of a, I almost want to say like a Global Guardians kind of thing, but on intergalactic scale. So imagine instead of having, you know, to use Marvel terms, a Captain America, Captain Britain, or whatever, you had a guy from Brawl who is one of their Magno Sports champions. They have magnetic powers and they have like a basketball game that's all done with, you know, magnetic powers.
Mm-hmm.
He was their Olympian, if you will. And Saturn Girl was one of the premier telepaths of one of the moons of the moon Titan of Jupiter or whatever. And then other characters were kind of the preeminent person on a given planet. Everyone on that planet had this power. Or they were the outcast that decided to leave a planet that nobody really left, kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that they were particularly unique in some cases. Their planet had a particular power, and Valor was one of the people who helped spread the people across the galaxy. So him founding the Legion, given that aspect of that character's one of many backstories, kind of makes sense. But he, Mon-El, in the comics was married to, I want to say Shadowlass. Yeah, Shadowlass. Other one that gets confusing is Nightgirl, but I think that was Cosmic Boy. When you've got a team of about 30 some odd characters and many of them wind up with spouses,
it adds to the fun.
Yes. In the comics, Saturn Girl is blonde. Here she's brunette.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Who cares? She's a telepath.
I was going to say, if she has powers, we've seen no sign of them.
Yes. And here it's like, well, I'm the equivalent of a cop in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And she really kind of wasn't in the comics. She became one of the leaders, one of the many leaders of the Legion of Superheroes. So over its 30-year period, they've had many.
When they talked about their Legion, they didn't seem to have the concept of superheroes.
No, they didn't. It was a little unclear. I hope they go more into it.
Yeah.
And the Legion has a very long history in comics, and in some cases a very unique one. One of the youngest professional comic writers from Marvel or DC originally worked on the Legion of Superheroes, Jim Shooter. Did it when he was 13.
Wow.
One of the longtime writers on it was Paul Levitz, who later became president of DC. I mean, you know who I'm talking about there. I don't know if he originated this or not. He may have. But at one point, the way the Legion leader was picked was from the readers.
Oh, how interesting.
It was a mail-in ballot kind of a thing.
Yeah.
They'd have a couple of issues that would be leading to it. And, mm-hmm. you know, people would cast their votes, got to have it in by so many. And then they'd, well, gosh, I guess Element Lad won or whatever. There was a writing campaign. This guy wasn't running in the story, but somebody said Wildfire ought to be it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a fun thing to kind of challenge the writer a little bit and for audience involvement.
Yes.
So I thought that was cool. But also, in the show, we've gone to Superman's Fortress.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the Legion Flight Ring.
Yeah.
So having seen that, the hints we're getting of the Legion right now are puzzling to me. You know, Mon-El and Saturn Girl are on this ship that had 5-6 other people.
Mm-hmm.
In these pods, they all died.
They sure seem to.
And the whole time this is happening, Mon-El didn't seem all that worked up about it.
I was going to say, he's certainly not grieving or upset, which confused me.
Neither is she.
Yeah.
So there's parts of this whole story that, okay, they get thrown into the past. Okay, fine. They're going to cryosleep till they get back to their time. Hey, that's been done before. Matter of fact, the JSA members did it at one point. Clever idea. But it just happens to be under National City. That seems a little convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So some of where they're going there, I don't know. And it's playing into the whole angst. He doesn't love her anymore. She's pining for him still. Okay. The one thing I'll say about the angst that I thought almost justifies all of it was having both of them in kind of that bad state, the episode where they go home.
Mm.
And most of the episode isn't any of the leads from the show.
The flashback.
They do a flashback. They get two child actors, younger actors.
Yeah.
That whoever cast them did a brilliant job. Whoever coached them did a brilliant job.
Yeah.
The one who played Alex played Alex. The one who played Kara played Kara.
Yeah.
They were younger. They were clearly different actors, but they were the same characters.
Well, and it was a wonderful story about how these two characters went from being adoptive sisters
forced together.
Yeah.
Into being sisters.
Yeah.
It was exceptionally well done, and to the point I almost wonder if the regular actors would do a version of the scene during rehearsal of here's how we would play it.
Yeah.
Because the flashback actors did such an on-spot. No, I think that's, you know, it felt like those same characters.
Yeah, they nailed the mannerisms, etc.
To a very almost scarily subtle level.
It was
terrific.
Yeah.
And the machination of going home and being in the fight, reminiscent of the old thing, it played into the ongoing story.
Yes.
It would have been hard to sell that otherwise, I think, to a degree. So I enjoyed that episode quite a bit. Some of the other stuff they're doing with Rao and how that's leading into the rain and all this stuff, it's like, I just...
When we got, and this may have been right there in episode 9, possibly late in episode 8, I guess, but when we started getting the whole, this has Kryptonian religious connections, I thought I'd ask you, you know, we've got, albeit from a different alien world, but we've got basically an alien religion expert.
Mm. It was one of the other characters they brought in that I was pleasantly surprised by.
I've been loving that character, and I'm like, why are we not turning to him?
It's John Jones's father.
Yeah.
Who's played by Carl Lumley.
Yeah.
Oh. Carl Lumley played the Martian Manhunter in the Justice League cartoon, Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
So now he's playing the father of. This is another way that they are, the people behind the scenes are honoring what has gone before,
yeah,
to build up the fan base on TV and stuff for these characters.
Well, and they did a really great subplot in one of the episodes where he casually brought to his son's attention the fact that his son has basically imprisoned himself, mm-hmm, in his workplace.
It takes the Martian Manhunter character to a new dimension and allows him to get out of the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And get fleshed out.
Yeah.
You know, as you were saying that, the one thing that had popped into my mind was it would have been fascinating if they had cast somebody else as Magan, Ms. Martian, if that had been Danica McKellar from the Wonder Years,
mm-hmm,
who voiced the character in the Young Justice cartoon, who originated the character for all intents and purposes.
Mm.
And they could still do that later at some point, but because they have recast one or two other people, specifically Kara's mom.
Yeah.
With Erica Durance taking over the role. And I thought that was a very interesting choice. She, of course, was Lois Lane in Smallville. Speaking of Smallville, in the flashback episode, they reference Chloe, a friend of Clark's.
Yeah.
Which, again, was a character originated in Smallville. While they've pulled her into the comics, not to the point of being... I mean, she's technically part of canon. She's not an iconic part, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So some of what they're doing is working. Some of what they're doing, not so much. Jimmy, other than the love interest for Lena, has really been relegated to almost a background character.
Yeah, we've barely seen the Guardian. We've seen more of his shield than the full costume.
We saw the shield here in the 9th episode. The only time we've seen him in costume was, I think, the previous episode. And technically as the Patriot on Another World.
Yeah.
We're not going to go into the Earth X stuff. We may do a separate episode on that. I just don't want to talk about that in each of the things.
Yeah, exactly.
He just hasn't, Jimmy just hasn't
I think they're,
had a chance to shine this season.
Yeah, I think they're kind of uncertain what to do with that character. I mean, he's had the strife at work with Lena taking over Catco.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, kind of trying to take over his office, too.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because if you think about the show, you've got that office and bullpen area of Catco.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Lena's office.
Yeah.
You've got the DEO headquarters now downtown or wherever.
Yeah.
You've got Kara's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got wherever you happen to be shooting on the street for whatever action.
Yeah.
Everything seems to happen at those couple of places.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes almost inexplicably so. I guess the other place would be Morgan Edge's office, which we've been to a few times this season.
We've been to the bar a few times. The alien bar.
But it's not like it was in previous seasons where
exactly.
It was
yeah.
One of the main sets.
And I'd say that the DEO is more fleshed out than it was last season. We're getting more of the going up and down the stairs. The medical office is upstairs. There's a conference room upstairs.
I think we'd gotten a lot of that last season.
It feels more permanent this season, if that makes sense.
That's fair. That's fair.
We're moving around it more versus mostly we were in that bullpen area.
I wonder how much of it is how much of it they fully built out.
Yeah.
Versus they could kind of put a swing set together, if you will.
Yeah.
The other thing that always gets me, particularly when we're at the DEO, Department of Extra Human Affairs, or whatever they're calling it, operations, or whatever, is invariably Kara will be in or out of costume, whichever way she was not in the previous scene.
Mm.
There are times where it's like, you guys are in a rush, yet you took time to change clothes.
What gets me is that she'll be in Supergirl costume and they'll call her Kara.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be in Kara civilian clothes and they'll call her Supergirl.
At this 9th episode, she's having a party at her place. Lena, Sam, all these other people are there. Those two in particular don't know she's Supergirl.
Yeah.
And she gets called out to go do something.
With Jean Jones.
With Jean Jones. pretty much almost right in front of Lena.
Oh, definitely right in front of Lena.
Lena is her boss at Catco.
Yeah.
So Lena should be like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, admittedly, John Jones is like a foster father to her, but his walking up to her saying, we have to go and walk out on the party you're hosting should have raised eyebrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably, I guess, a little bit less than if Jimmy had done it.
Well, but Jimmy's her boss at work.
But Jimmy reports to Lena, therefore he would have to explain to Lena, you know what I mean?
But he could come up with some excuse about work. I mean, I guess the person it would have made the least sense from is Wen. Because really, does anybody actually know where Wen works?
Outside of the DEO, no. Because I think he's not publicly known to be working there, but...
Yeah. So if Wen walked up to her in front of Lena and said, you've got to go...
Does Lena know that he ever worked at Catco?
Yes. Because she was underneath the stage, I guess it was, under the curtains helping him fix something.
Before he was working at the DEO?
Yes. That was last season.
So she should be wondering where he's working now, just on principle.
Yeah. She's not very curious.
No, she's not. Which is odd, given her family history.
She comes across a little naive and trusting at times.
She definitely wants to trust.
Yes.
And wants... I think she willingly trusts because she's very afraid that if she digs or pushes at all, that facade of trust will completely crumble and she'll be betrayed again.
But I think that's what makes the audience want to trust her. A compassion for that feeling she has.
I just don't know where they're going with the character.
I totally agree.
And it's funny because I don't know where they're going with Jimmy, but I'm not worried about that because I don't think he's a potential big bad for a season or something like that. No. I just think the way they set Lena up originally doesn't really lend itself to she's just the best friend who happens to own everything in town.
Yeah.
She's almost a stand-in of sorts, but not quite, for both Cat Grant and Max Lord.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work.
Well, I think they were hoping to make her more of a Cat Grant stand-in. I think they realized they weren't going to have Calista Flockhart full-time.
No, and the way they kind of wrote Calista Flockhart's character out, I thought was smooth and good as the press secretary for the president and such. Yeah. And I thought Snapper Carr at a point was almost filling that sort of a role of guiding Carr into being a better reporter, but that part's almost been just cast by the wayside this season.
Yeah.
And again, what they're doing isn't bad, but it's very different, sometimes blatantly, sometimes subtly, from what's gone before. And again, it's all the way down to the opening image of the S in shadow.
Yeah.
As if it's a much darker season. She's got to come back to the light. And it's very metaphorical, but it's cast a shadow on the season.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm curious where they go. I want to see more of the Legion of Superheroes. I like having John's father there. They're doing some fun stuff. Not really excited about Rain, this whole, you know, the Book of Rao and all this stuff. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that they're telling a bad story. I just don't care for the story they're telling and the tone and style in which they are telling it as much as I have some of the previous seasons, which had a lighter, funner tone.
Yeah. I agree with that.
So, curious where they go, and we'll see when we pick up the rest of the season.
That works.
Cool. So we have just finished watching the finale of the third season of Supergirl, whichever season this is. We watched the final two episodes back to back, and about, I guess, a week or so ago, we watched pretty much everything else from the hiatus forward.
Yeah, we let them build up and pretty much binged.
Well, it was one that we kind of had to because there was Arrow, there was Flash, there was Legends of Tomorrow, there was Black Lightning, there was SWAT, there's a lot of shows right now.
There are a lot of shows right now, and honestly, the Rain plotline hasn't been a favorite of mine. So I was in favor of let them build up and let's just let it all unfold and see if it worked better for me that way.
I would say the way I would sum up this season is I still like the show. I still enjoy the show. But I don't have as much respect for the writing.
It was a darker, more melodramatic season.
Yes, very much so. Oh, too much so.
I mean, I love Kara's optimism. I love her sunshine and rainbows. I love her passionate, I don't kill. There's always another way.
Here she was talked into killing fairly easily in the finale.
Yeah.
I mean, she caved on that very fast. That, of course, doesn't go well. So they had to pull out the I'll travel back in time contrivance.
Yeah.
Which is funny because she was warned against doing that sort of a thing by Barry.
Yeah.
Now, maybe she's not up on Flashpoint. She should be after the wedding. But there were a lot of things, particularly in the finale, but also a few times throughout the season where I'm like, what's going on or where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
This whole other realm that Rain and Sam go into made no sense to me.
Well, and at one point after a couple of the episodes in the second half, I mean, I loved bringing in John Jones' father.
Yes, and Carl Lumley, who played the Martian Manhunter in the, or did the voice for him in the Justice League cartoons, did a terrific job as the father of the Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, I know him as far back as Alias.
Yes.
Really good actor. But there came a point with that character where it's, okay, who in the writer's room is having a parent go through the Alzheimer's experience?
Yeah, at least that one I felt kind of played out and resolved decently. I didn't care for aspects of the plot line or the character arc or however you want to call it, but I liked that better than some of what they did, say, with Alina Luthor and Supergirl and Kara Danvers.
Yeah, I was very unhappy with how that triangle of trust played out and what it revealed about Lena.
Well, and Lena's one of those, are they going to do her as a bad guy or a good guy?
Yeah. Well, I felt from the moment we met Lena, we were meant to assume she's a bad person because she's a Luthor. And
not just because she's a Luthor, but she was replacing Max Lord, who was the bad guy.
True.
Or a bad guy.
Yes. In terms of cast lineup, if you will. Yes. But I felt that up until a certain point in this season, she has constantly proven herself to be on the side of the angels. And it's, if people would only judge her as an individual, they would see she is a good person or she is trying to do the right thing.
Well, and they'd built up a good friendship with Lena, Alex, Kara, and Sam, who was introduced for the course of the season.
Yeah.
Whom we may never see again after this season.
Yeah.
But that the friendship was real there. And I think Lena feels it's real with Kara, but felt betrayed over the course of the season by Supergirl. And it was funny because she was basically, you know, venting to Kara about Supergirl and how she could never trust her again.
Yeah.
Which puts Kara in a really strange position.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get Lena thinking she's been betrayed. That's a sore spot for her or a button to push or whatever.
But she has constantly betrayed both Supergirl and Kara, and she can't see that.
Yes. I just don't want them to do the Lena-Kara relationship as a retread of the Lex-Clark relationship, effectively from Smallville.
Yeah.
And that's the path they're going down.
Well, and as I said with the melodramatic comment, they were going more for the soap opera melodrama in that triangle of trust.
Yeah.
Where I felt they had played it much straighter up until they started bringing in that, but you betrayed me.
I'm almost wondering if there was a change in who led the writer's room.
Interesting question. And this is one of the shows that had the somebody got let go over the complaints and people That's were true. Brought in situation.
So it may have had that. There were just a number of things that felt out of the blue. Tess Mocker going from Jimmy's assistant at Catco to Lena's scientific assistant through a few lines of dialogue.
Yeah.
Was kind of, okay, that's surprising. Not unprecedented, because that character's kind of a riff on the one from the original Superman movie. But they would move characters around kind of inexplicably.
Yeah.
And they did a few things in the finale of, okay, we had the Legion of Superheroes from the future. Some of them have to go back. Oh, one of them's staying. Somebody's going in their place. And all of that seemed to be completely out of the blue.
Yeah, well, especially since they had spent so much time letting the one who's going know how incredibly not as smart as the one staying behind.
Yeah.
He is. You know, he's surprisingly smart. He's just not as smart as he thinks, and not as smart as the one staying behind.
Well, if it had just been after some of the Legion had gone to the future and come back, they had realized how smart he was because the timeline had changed. That would have made sense, but Mon-El, who stayed, recognized the things from the National Archive, etc., and it's like, well, that meant the timeline didn't change that much.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of things of almost a Flashpoint-esque nature that happened in this season. And the final scene of the season was another one of those, what the hell is this? Where are they going?
Yes. Yes.
And I don't like how they're ending the Supergirl seasons on that kind of a note.
Well, and it's funny because I nearly commented, Rays, they fade to black. That's a great place to end, but I'm afraid there's another scene.
Oh, I knew there was going to be another scene. And then we got the Lena one, and then we got that tail one.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of directions where I think that final bit can go. None of them that are coming to my mind, at least, make me feel, yeah, they should go there.
Well, and the bit with Lena was a, oh, by the way, she betrayed Kara, well, Supergirl, again.
Yeah.
And she made a lie of omission to Supergirl's mother. But, you know, she feels she's in the right when she says Supergirl lies to me, so I can't trust her.
She's always being betrayed, therefore she doesn't have to tell other people everything.
Yeah.
It's the Luthor way, I guess.
Yeah. It left me feeling uncharitable towards Lena, whereas if they had left us with the Lena was with Jimmy when he answered the call about, we want to know, yay or nay, are you the Guardian?
Mm-hmm.
And he revealed himself publicly. And she was there in support of him, you know, having drinks and supporting his decision to do that. That was a much better impression of Lena.
It was, but it's really kind of a not so good moment for Jimmy, if you think about it. He's the head of Catco Media. Why didn't he do a press conference? Why wasn't he controlling the story? Why was he just picking up his cell phone and answering to some unnamed reporter?
Yeah.
Of some, presumably, other source.
Yeah.
So that ought to have ramifications next season.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a couple of things they did that I liked. Again, the use of the Legion of Superheroes, although really it was Mon-El, Saturn Girl, and Brainiac 5, and that's it, was kind of cool. Brainy looked a little different. Blue skin, white hair. And I was talking to, I think it might have been Sam on this. And, you know, how, again, not the way the character looks in the comics, but it's as if you had taken the yellow out. Because if you put it in, his white hair becomes yellow like it should be in the comics. His blue skin becomes green like it should be in the comics.
That's funny.
So it's like, okay. But the actor did a good job.
He did. And it was a fun character.
Yeah. What's funny is in the comics, Brainiac 5 was the one that had the romantic relationship with Supergirl, not Mon-El.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And Mon-El's relationship was not with Saturn Girl. It was with Shadowless. Had the ability to cast darkness. Saturn Girl is also a telepath, not a telekinetic as she is in the show. And here she had a sister. And I am virtually 100% certain she never had any siblings in the comic. Because in the comic, she was married to Lightning Lad. Lightning Lad had a twin sister who became Lightning Lass, and then later Light Lass, to make things lighter, not heavier. But his race from, I think it was Winath, which is a planet they referenced at one point, everybody was twins.
Ah.
If you're not a twin, it's abnormal. And of course, Lightning Lad, Lightning Lass, had a brother who was a solo, no twin sibling, who because of that just kind of wasn't right in the head and became a villain. And when Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl had kids, they of course had twins. Now, they didn't know that at the time through other stuff, but it's one of those things that there are enough comments throughout of, well, that's common for her side of, you know, the tree versus his side of the tree.
Yeah.
I mean, no mention ever of siblings because it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Or at least twin siblings, in this case, any sibling. And after a character's been in the comic for like 30 years, they've had the chance to introduce the sister if there is one.
You would think.
You would think. So they made a couple of changes. Supergirl getting a Legion flight ring at the end was kind of nice. Them never explaining Supermans that we've seen in the Fortress a number of times, kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Also, when we get to Argo City and all of that, and still no mention of Superman. And hey, by the way, some Kryptonians survived.
Yeah.
Including his aunt.
Yeah.
Very surprising. At least there was a token acknowledgement of him in Madagascar or whatever on the other side of the planet during the finale.
Yeah.
So they've at least not completely forgotten he exists. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of him this season.
I agree. There were a few places where it just kind of felt like, okay, why isn't he visible in some fashion?
You know, even if it had just been a scene with Saturn Girl or Brainiac 5 having kind of snuck off, meeting with him, and him basically saying, yeah, I'm trying to give her space, and, you know.
Yeah.
They could have had a short guest star aspect where he's there for a scene at a coffee place kind of a deal.
Yeah.
As Clark, even. And really addressed why he's intentionally not visible here, if that's the case. But they chose not to do that. Trying to think what else was of note in kind of the second half of the season.
Wynn's mother showed up.
That was a really good episode for Wynn.
It was, yeah.
And the actor did a great job with it. It gave some needed backstory for him and his father being Toyman, etc.
Well, and the stuff between Wynn and Ruby played out surprisingly well.
Ruby was well used, and I was expecting at the end that her mother Sam would not survive and that Alex would wind up adopting Ruby.
That's what I thought for quite a while, too.
I don't know if I'm happy that they didn't go the obvious route or not happy that they set a lot of stuff up and sort of implied expectations and then didn't meet them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really kind of on the fence on that one.
I'm in the same torn boat. Because they created a great relationship there, and it feels like we're never going to see Sam or Ruby again.
Yeah.
So it feels like even the pseudo-aunt relationship isn't going to continue.
They may reference it and talk about the characters even if we don't see them, and just because they're not series regulars, they could still recur.
I hope they at least reference, you know, I picked something up and sent it to Ruby, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Got dinner plans with her, you know, whatever. Just yeah. Some reference to keep the character alive.
Yeah.
But there are a number of characters that, man, once they have moved on from them, this show does not even acknowledge them.
Well, I'd be fine with Ruby being the Jenny Piccolo of the show.
Well, yeah, again, you can have the character referenced without the actor present.
Yeah.
But the president really wasn't mentioned much after appearing and then disappearing.
Yeah.
Wynn's girlfriend,
yes.
Snapper Carr, most of the Catco group.
We didn't do much at Catco this season, and really I felt Jimmy got the short end of the majority of scripts.
I would agree with that. His use as guardian was downplayed for kind of the middle part of the season, and then when it comes back up, there's the, you know, risk of the secret identity bit.
Yeah. Well, and the conversation he had with Lena, I realized they only had a little bit of time. They could only say so much. But he was talking about, you know, if I go public, I want people to see that there's a hero that looks like them. And on the one hand, I get that. That was a good story he told, etc. But he had the opportunity, knowing what was going on between Lena and Supergirl, to point out, part of why I wear the mask is not just to protect myself, but to protect those who care about me, up to and including you.
Yeah. Well,
it would have given Lena a different perspective on why Supergirl has never confided her real identity in her.
True, true.
And I think that would have been valuable for Lena.
I think so too, but that's also something they could do at the start of the next season.
We can hope.
I don't think they will, but they could. I think, though, any conversation involving Lena, I think, has to deal with the unacknowledged fact that she is clearly completely deaf at times. Because there were a couple of times near the end of the season and sprinkled throughout that Supergirl is having conversations.
Yes.
I mean, in the DEO, I think everybody kind of sort of knows and doesn't care that she's Kara Danvers.
She gets referred to as Kara in front of people within the DEO more often than I would like, and there are times when I just want to smack people upside the head and say, do you even know who else is in the room? But the thing I think you're pointing out,
Supergirl was talking to her mother, introducing Alex as her sister, and as that is, you know, 10 seconds later, Lena's walking right up saying hello.
Well, they are outside the medical bay. Inside the medical bay is Sam unconscious on the bed. Ruby's asleep next to her. Lena is looking over them. There's no door to that doorway.
Yeah.
So it's not just that it's an open door. It's a impossible to close door, and you've got 10 feet between them.
If that. That's one of those, the thing could have just as easily changed in terms of how the episode went, to the camera moves and pivots around to we see Lena,
yeah,
having overheard the conversation, flashing back to all the different, you know, conversations, putting the pieces together, because, I mean, Lena's supposed to be brilliant.
Yeah.
That Kara and Kara is Kara.
Yeah, exactly.
And that Danvers is Supergirl kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But that's TV logic in terms of how sound doesn't travel.
Yes.
How you can have a private conversation while standing 3 feet away from somebody who really ought to be able to hear you.
Yeah.
You know, and they did that a number of times.
Yes.
So you've just got to chalk that up to that's a storytelling convention.
Yeah. Well, and going back to John Jones' father, I thought they did a really good job of using him to kind of emphasize how much of a family John Jones has created.
Yes.
For himself.
Yeah.
That he lives too much within the DEO walls and may not have created much of a personal life beyond the DEO. But that he had created a family.
I'm curious how much John is going to show up next season.
Me too.
Because he's literally walking off into the sunset almost there at the end.
Yeah. He's exploring the city just as a person, not as a hero out to save lives. Conceivably for one of the first times.
If you think about it, though, John leaving this show is akin to Harrison Wells leaving The Flash.
Yeah.
Kind of sort of like Quentin leaving on Arrow.
Yeah.
So there's certain story beats and group dynamics that they're doing across all the different shows.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just something I do notice.
Well, and Alex getting a promotion. I mean, Felicity got the promotion to where she was the corporate head.
True. At least that they're not doing at the same time.
True. True.
But you've got to expect the dynamic changing a little bit.
Yeah.
But if anything, I would almost say it was like Iris getting promoted to leader of Team Flash.
Well, but to me, that's a more realistic, smaller promotion in terms of Alex seems to have jumped to the top of the hierarchy.
She was an agent who'd been around the DEO for a while, kind of when we started, was more or less the second in command for the last season or two.
Okay.
So I think it was a logical step up.
I guess I'd been feeling like she was team lead on the team that liaised with Supergirl. She was the one John Jones always turned to, but...
It's funny because there in the last two episodes, there was a time or two at the DEO headquarters. The alarm goes off and like Wynne and Jimmy come running in.
Yeah.
And everybody in the background's just doing stuff as usual.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a world-ending crisis on hand. And people are just filing their paperwork or doing whatever these other DEO agents do.
But there's an aspect of there's always a world-ending crisis at the DEO.
True, but the only time I think the core group gets the attention of everybody else is when they're like going to send Wynne off to the future.
Yes. Yes. And
even that felt a little odd.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those that, again, and it is another storytelling aspect of television of you need to have people around,
yeah,
so it doesn't feel like a vacant room or whatever, but they're disconnected with what the main plot is.
Yeah.
I mean, there are very few shows where I think they've had enough of these extras that it feels like they're actually doing something pertaining to the main plot.
Yeah.
Versus just inexplicably sitting in the vicinity.
Well, and the main actors tend to walk by them. They don't interact with them in any way. They don't hand them a file to be filed or anything like that. The extras frequently feel like moving props.
Exactly. How many times have we watched a police procedural where you've got the table that the main team sits at, and there's clearly other teams,
yeah,
that they never even talk to?
Yeah.
Very cliquish in television.
Yes. Yes. Sad but true.
It was just, it struck me on this one when there were a couple of times they really had to play with the focus. So it's like we get Supergirl and there's somebody walking in the background, but they're so out of focus.
Yeah.
That if they hadn't crossed in front of the window, we wouldn't have noticed. It's like, well, then just don't have them there. You know, downsize, spread the team out or something.
Move the team to an underground bunker that nobody knows about.
Yeah. Or at least make reference of having used these other agents for other stuff.
Yes. Yes.
If they've sent another team out and they came back with information, they're the boots on the ground or something. That works.
Yeah.
But they're standing props.
Be handed a file by the other people who've just retrieved info and gotten it for you. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. I agree.
And there have been past seasons where I think they've done a little bit better on that than here, but this season it kind of stood out.
Well, I want the show to regain some of its optimism, some of its... I mean, the logo was darker this year. Everything was darker.
I was surprised that the final episode, the logo was not back in kind of the sunlight.
Yeah.
So I was not happy with that. Again, the dark, depressing... And it's not like totally that way, but visually it was too much that way.
They were world killers.
Fair enough. They were definitely hell and brimstone kind of, you know, characters. I would say the only thing visually that worked particularly well for me was when we finally get Mon-El's actual suit.
Yes. We have Wicked Witches.
Reminiscent of the killers. Yeah, the Wicked Witches stuff. I could have done without the mysticism.
I mean, I'm just saying, for me, Supergirl has always been the light, the bright, the optimistic. And that made the season hard for me to watch. This was the Kara is heartbroken and torn. And even when she gets Mon-El back, he's married to someone else. So she's still heartbroken.
Yeah. Well, and having to fight Kryptonians this season, similar to what we had at the first season.
Yeah.
And not too terribly dissimilar to some of the Daxamite stuff we had last season.
Yeah.
What sort of threat do you think they should have for the next season?
I can tell you the threat I don't want. I don't want to fight evil Kara.
That may be coming nonetheless. But there's another path they could go with the second Kara. That could turn out to be Power Girl, which was the Earth 2 Supergirl.
Oh, interesting.
I doubt they're going to go that way.
So do I, given the whole BlackRock Hexamite or whatever.
Whatever timing. They called the... Yeah. I don't know where they're going to go with the duplicate Kara. I think it's a bad move, but they've made it. I just think, aside from the let's fight somebody just like the lead,
mm-hmm.
what do you think would be a good direction to go for a new season?
I'd like for them to be support from the past for the Legion. I'd like for them to still be doing episodic stuff here, dealing with kind of small threats around town. But I think it would be fascinating if Wynn had found a way to use Brainy in the past and the DEO as kind of a support system to help him be fighting in the future.
Mm-hmm. It would take forever to figure this out. Send it back.
Yeah.
You've now got
yeah.
1,000 years.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. I don't know how much we're going to see, if at all, of the future.
And that's part of why I thought, keep it here, keep it now, have us working
yeah.
the problem of the future.
I do want to see the Legion come back next season,
mm.
and I want to see more members, different members.
Yeah.
Just to kind of start to flesh that group out. I would bring back Chameleon Boy, because clearly you can do shapeshifters.
Mm-hmm.
I would bring Phantom Girl. Walking through walls is pretty easy.
Yeah.
I would do Shrinking Violet, shrinks down.
Oh,
we've nice. Done the Atom.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else would be interesting to kind of pull back. And it's funny because most of those are the espionage squad. Invisible Kid's another one that would be part of that group. The Legion has, you know, 30-some-odd members at times. Usually closer to 25, but they've rotated people in and out. And at one point, they had basically had a subgroup that was for kind of covert spy-type missions.
Hmm. Interesting.
Sometimes against other things, sometimes even within the Legion.
Hmm.
What's going on with this person?
Yeah.
So... I want to see them come back. I want to see that continue to be part of this. But I want to get away from the, it's just a slugfest at the end of the season.
Yes.
And you've got, I mean, we had Supergirl, her mother, Mon-El, Martian Manhunter, all of which are rough Kryptonian class characters.
Mm-hmm. Rain and Sam, which is basically Rain.
Yeah.
And 3 Kryptonian witches.
So, I mean, we had nearly a dozen Kryptonian-level characters, even if one's a Daxamite and one's a Martian.
Yeah.
And that's not even counting Brainy and Saturn Girl who were around.
Yeah.
Do something, make it a little different. Specialize the characters a little bit more.
Yeah. I will say, in terms of where the series started versus where we are now, I think they've done really well by the character Wen.
Yes.
I think Jimmy's come a pretty good distance.
I would agree with that.
But I think his character's been very consistent. So it's harder to see a progression for him.
He's had certain aspects that have progressed a little too much. He was dating Lucy, then he's dating Carr, now he's dating Lena.
Yeah, I can see that aspect.
But he hasn't gotten as much depth of character and so forth as I think the character is worthy of.
Yeah.
There's a lot more about him having hung around with Kryptonians for a long time, being Superman's pal and stuff, that just kind of doesn't matter to this character. And that surprises me.
Well, he's got a good, solid heart. And he was looking for a way not just to belong, but a combination of to belong and to contribute. And that seemed to be what the Guardian was born of.
I agree. I guess there's an aspect where it's a good character, but it's not Jimmy Olsen.
Yes.
So I want to see a little bit hearkening back to that.
I can see that.
You know, even if it was just at some point Kara is going through something and over dinner or whatever, Jimmy tells some of the adventures he'd had with Clark.
Yeah.
You may not know this, but. And kind of seeing it from that perspective or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's stuff they could do.
I think Alex has had a fairly good progression, but I didn't like some of the conversations at the end of the season. To me, she's always been a more confident and more decisive character than the way they played some of it at the end of the season.
Particularly with the wanting to adopt and how does she juggle all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She went through a very emotional-ish season.
Yeah.
And not in the best of ways.
Yeah.
I think some of what they'd done early with Maggie and stuff was good, but then they just kind of tossed that aside.
Yeah.
So if they don't address that and progress that next season, I'll be a little disappointed.
Yeah. I think Kara's pretty consistent. Been through the roller coaster you kind of expect. But I wouldn't say Kara has necessarily grown over the three seasons.
Yeah. I'm going to be curious what direction they go with the character next season. She knows her mother's alive. Do they establish regular communications? Some of that stuff. Well,
but the dome over Argo prevents communications.
Which they then got around with the holograms.
That's true. That's interesting. So now the hologram she had been talking to that kind of, for lack of a better term, impersonated her mother.
Yep.
Can now be her mother.
Yep.
Well, that's interesting.
I do want to point out that the evil Kryptonian, whose plan was to use the transmatter gate to get back to Earth, had a very bad plan because that person didn't know about the transmatter gate the DEO had.
Yeah.
Or have any way to get it activated.
Yeah, I agree.
There's plot points like that that it's like, how was that going to work again?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm enjoying the show. While I'm not loving it, I don't think it's at its high point. It's still a decent show. It's got some good characters, it's got some good effects, it's got some good moments.
Yeah.
But I need a better overall arc for next season to really enjoy it more.
I agree. I think if it had a better overall arc, I wouldn't have wanted to save the second half of the season to just binge. I would have wanted to keep up with it weekly, like I did the others.
Well, and something that's not one threat for the entire thing.
Yeah.
Of, we know it's going to end with a slugfest with Rain.
Yeah.
Because that action sequence fell flat for me in a couple of ways.
Yeah.
The time travel, that kind of stuff, the fake deaths.
Well, at one point it looked like Supergirl said something to other people while she was in the chokehold. And even when she traveled back in time, it looked like she said something to other people, but she didn't.
What I didn't get is when she traveled back in time, how did she wind up in the chokehold?
Yeah.
So the whole time travel thing just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But it was a fun enough finale, and I like some of the characters they were bringing in, and it's got some weak moments.
Well, but for Supergirl, the point of the season was be true to yourself, be true to your ideals, and don't let the dark side lull you or pull you in.
But in a moment of weakness, she did.
And then she traveled back in time.
She cheated and didn't fess up to doing it.
Yes.
She could have told Mon-El. She could have told a lot of people.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But there'll be the price to pay for that next season, no doubt. Well, there's doubt. So anything else?
No, I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.